Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this testimony of Stephen, a man full of faith, of the Holy Spirit, of grace and power. And as he was falsely accused and arrested, he stood upon the truth of Scripture. He didn't waver. He accurately and boldly gave you the glory, gave you the praise. Father, I pray if there's anyone in this building that has not accepted Christ as their Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. That they would understand why Jesus came, why He died on a cross to take upon our sin, and on the third day rose again from the dead. That through faith, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Because we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I pray if there's anyone here who's never trusted in Christ, that today would be their day of salvation. Father, I pray for every believer here today. I pray that you would encourage them through the Word of God. Father, we especially think of those in harm's way this morning. We think of those who've been devastated by Hurricane Harvey from the wildfires and now Hurricane Irma. We pray that as the God of all comfort, that you would comfort those in distress. That you would protect them. And Father, we pray that you would use this to draw people to yourself. That they would trust in Christ. We pray for the believers that they would shine brightly during this catastrophe. Father, we pray for our church as we desire to reach out into our community, that you would open up opportunities for us to do so. That we would be obedient and bold to the calling of sharing Christ. I pray now that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, would minister to every single one of us. That we would take the Word, apply it, and be changed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we looked at Stephen being arrested. He was seized. He was accused of several things. One, as chapter 6, verse 11 speaks to, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Blasphemous words against Moses and God. So then the high priest, after he's been accused of these things, and asks him a question in verse 1. He's on trial. Falsely accused, false witnesses, very similar to when Christ was arrested. And now he's on trial. And the high priest says, basically, are you guilty or not of these accusations? Are these things so? And then it's interesting how Stephen goes into this long discourse, this sermon, through the history of the nation of Israel, with purpose, mind you, being full of the Spirit, mind you. Remember last week when we closed that last verse, it says, they gazed upon him, the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The glory of God was upon Stephen like it was upon Moses. Really the only two individuals we know of in Scripture. So I can just imagine that glory, that shining, remained on him as he eloquently and boldly proclaimed God's truth. It's very purposeful what he's doing. His purpose was to show that Christ, that the Christian faith which he preached, it was the perfect fulfillment of the Old Testament. Because Christ didn't come to destroy or abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. So he's going to take him systematically through the scriptures, through truth, to show him some, to show them some things. As we continue in this sermon, we will see that there is progress and change in God's program. You'll see that through this discourse. You'll also see the blessings of God are not limited to the land of Israel and the temple area. Number three, Israel in its past always evidenced a pattern of opposition to God's plan and his man. That's another purpose Stephen is trying to accomplish for them to see. He starts with verse 2, and Stephen said, brothers and fathers. He's not saying spiritual brothers, he's just recognizing and respecting the leadership of those in these positions of leadership over Israel. When he's saying brothers and fathers, this is more from a fact that they're, as Israelites, they're connected. The God of glory is who he starts with. Before he talks about Abraham and then Joseph and others, he starts with the God of glory. All that we do in our lives should be for the glory of God. God deserves all the glory. I want to spend a few minutes here talking about what is the glory of God. It's the beauty of His Spirit. It's not an aesthetic beauty or material beauty, but it is the beauty that emanates from His character, from all that He is. In the Old Testament, the word glory means, gives us the idea of greatness, of splendor. In the New Testament, the word translated glory means dignity, honor, praise, and worship. So putting those two together, we find that glorifying God, it means to acknowledge His greatness and give Him honor by praising and worshiping Him. Now listen to this, to these verses out of 1 Chronicles 16. Verses 28 and 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Now the question might come to mind, if God has all the glory, which He does, then how do we give Him glory? Well, in those verses I just read out of 1 Chronicles, we see there's two actions on our part that make up the action of glorifying God. First, we ascribe or give glory to Him because it's His due. It's His due. No one deserves praise and worship but God and God alone. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. So it's due to His name. And secondly, it says that in back to 1 Chronicles 16, that we are to bring an offering to God as part of our worship that glorifies Him. The offering we bring to God as we come before Him in the splendor of His holiness involves agreeing with Him, His Word, obedience, submitting to God. Psalm 103, 17 and 18, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we glorify God recognizing that it's due to His name. It's the essence of who He is, of all His attributes, is His glory. And we recognize that He is the creator of all things, the owner of all things. He's sovereign over all things. If it wasn't for God, we would not be here. We wouldn't exist. He formed us in His mother in our mother's womb, and then He made us a new creation when we called upon Him for forgiveness of sin. We owe Him all the praise and all the glory. We also glorify God by rehearsing His attributes and His deeds. And that's exactly what we find Stephen doing in this sermon, in this discourse. Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran, and said to him, "Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you." Then he went out. God said, "Go." He didn't tell him where he was going, did he? He said, "Leave." Well, that required obedience. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others who would enslave them and afflict them. That's when they were in bondage under the Egyptians, 400 years. "But I will judge the nation that they serve," said God, "and after they shall come out and worship me in this place." I talked about during communion. Pharaoh finally let him go and God judged that nation. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. So after opening with the sovereign source of the whole plan, the God of glory, he turns to Abraham, whom his listeners greatly revered. Father Abraham. What they needed to see. Yes, they were physical descendants of Abraham, being Israelites. And they prided themselves in being a child of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham. But they confused physical descent with spiritual experience, and they were depending on their national heritage rather than their personal faith. Now turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Paul talks about this. We're just going to look at a little part of it. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. Talking about Abraham. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is what we read. He didn't receive any inheritance. I mean, Isaac was finally born. But it was all based on a promise. The child of promise was given. And then through Isaac and Jacob and the rest. And then you have the descendants. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith, listen to this, this is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Did you see that? And this is what they were missing. Many of the Israelites, the religious leaders of that time, part of the council of the Sanhedrin, who charged up these false accounts, got these false witnesses against Stephen, didn't have a personal relationship with God. They were depending upon just being a descendant of Abraham and following ritual law to save them. Stephen's point is, Paul's point was, Peter's and the others was, it's not by following the law, it's not being a physical descendant of Abraham, because Abraham was never saved that way. It was counted to him as righteousness when he believed. It's always been saved by grace through faith. Old and New Testament. So Stephen is systematically taking him through this. He wants them to see it's always been by faith. Always faith. The circumcision was simply a sign of the covenant. It didn't save them. It was just a sign of the covenant God made. The Israelites were blind to the sincere faith of Abraham and the patriarchs, and they had cluttered it with man-made traditions that turned, in their minds, salvation into a matter of works, not of grace through faith. God has no grandchildren. What I mean by that, every single one of us has to make a personal decision to trust in Christ. Your father, your parents might be saved, your great-grandparents or others might be saved. Just because you were born into a Christian family doesn't automatically make you saved. We all need to make the personal choice of putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that Peter stood upon, that Stephen stood upon, that Paul, and that we stand upon here this morning. We're saved by grace through faith. Genesis 15:6. He believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. At the very beginning, saved by grace through faith. Justified, that means declared righteous. Because left to our own devices, we're lost. It's all self-righteousness. Sin still remains. The only way to be declared justified, to be declared righteous, is faith. Trusting in God's provision for our salvation. Jesus Christ, the only one that died and then rose again from the dead. So if you never made that decision today, today can be your day of salvation. Christ is the only hope. There is no other way to be saved. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Christ, today can be your day of salvation. Saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the good news of the gospel. It was in 1992 that I responded to the gospel and was gloriously saved. Trusted in Christ. Maybe you've been depending upon your works, hoping that if you just do a good enough deeds, God will let you into heaven. That your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds. It doesn't work. That's a works-based salvation. That's why Christ had to come. Become the Lamb of God, because we couldn't earn it. We certainly do not deserve it. But God demonstrated His love toward us, and why we were sinners, Christ died for us. He provided a way for everyone to be saved, because He doesn't desire any to perish, but that all would come to repentance. If you've never trusted in Christ for forgiveness of sin, you can make that decision today and be gloriously saved. Or maybe you're here this morning, you're a child of God. Maybe you just need to have a higher view of God and His holiness and His sovereignty. We see how Stephen, how he saw God in His glory and His holiness. All of us need to have a higher view of God and His holiness. Whatever the need is during this time of invitation, if God is calling you to come, come. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that through Him we have forgiveness of sin for all who trust in Christ. Father, we thank You for the church. We thank You for this church. Father, empower us as we desire to reach out into our community to meet those who are hurting, to minister to the downtrodden, the disheartened, those who they don't know where to turn. We have the answer. We have the gospel. Give us the boldness, the compassion to tell others that Jesus saves. In His name we pray. Amen. Stand, have a verse of invitation. We have our small group starting today. There's a list on the back table. You're welcome to, if you're not a part of one of our in-home small groups, there's three different days and times. One meets right after service. You can sign up. They'll go through November, this current session, and then we'll start them back up in January. But tonight we also start our Awana service, and we also have a service for the adults and the teens starting tonight. There's flyers on the back table. Maybe there's someone you want to invite and you want to pray for them. Maybe you're just going through a difficult time. You want to come and pray. Whatever the need is, just come.